Let me start by giving you just a brief background of why I'm involved in typology. For one thing, the very first moment of my exposure to Jung's typology, let me put it this way, to Jung's psychology was through typology. I was going through a considerable stressful time at a period in my life when I was in the Dominican Order. I was preparing for the priesthood back in 1956. And life in a seminary is very stressful. People don't teach you that when you go in because you give up so much exterior things and you're faced with the soul, with psyche, in a way that you hardly ever are in ordinary life. At any rate, I was going through a stressful time, and fortunately, synchronistically, a Jungian analyst was there from England, Victor White, who was the first outstanding theologian who took Jung very seriously, and they began to dialogue, and in fact, Victor spent summers at times with Jung. And then in 1951, Jung wrote his Answer to Job. Victor saw with other Jung's associates the manuscript, which was initially intended by Jung to simply be an act of imagination. And Victor thought it was great, but he said, if you publish it, it'll probably destroy every attempt I've made to correlate your psychology with Catholic thought. But Jung decided to publish it anyway, and so they kind of split. Meanwhile, in 1953, the English translation came out, and Victor White, now seemed to be associated with this crazy psychologist and psychiatrist who was arguing with God, which presumably nobody's supposed to do, but Job was doing it, and a few other of the great figures in Scripture were doing it. But somehow this was considered wrong by theologians and spiritual leaders in the Catholic religion and also in Protestantism. So Victor was banished to California, and that's how we got him. And so the very first dream that I had had to do with typology. I was I go into the office of the studium, our house of studies as we called it, and I'm supposed to be filing Brother X's papers. And I open the file drawer, and out come a bunch of Valentines, one of which was a magnificent red one, and beautifully painted, and I'm fascinated by that. And while I'm looking at that, Brother X walks in, and he's very angry at me because I'm filing, not filing his papers. And when Victor saw that, he asked me about Brother X, and what emerges from, let's say, the terminology of Myers-Briggs, though we didn't use the J and the P back in those days, was that Brother X was a ESTJ. He was a tough-minded guy who memorized one language after the other, lived very much outwardly, and that was the persona that I had adopted since I, as a little kid, not being able to speak English, I spoke only Italian, went to my first year of grammar school and was a first year dropout. So I had a kind of a deep dual cultural wound, if you will, that caught up with me 35 years, well, I should say about 30 years later. And he said to me, my dear John, you've been living the wrong typology all these years. Your intuitive feeling, for certain, you're probably in the middle of extroversion and introversion, and I didn't understand what that meant. So I suppose that I've been deeply affected and haunted by the possibilities of typology for many years, and what began to happen in the late 70s and 80s is that there was one particular event that was important, and that is that I read an article published in the fall 1977, Psychological Perspective, entitled Psychology Revisited. And I want to give you just a brief picture of what this led up to. This is a picture, the very first one that I've seen of Jung depicting the typological circle, okay? Now that's not very, which is a very, very beautiful example of what he perceives to be the dominant thinking person with either intuition or sensation as the auxiliary, one of the auxiliary functions, and then the feeling function is the inferior one, and so he depicts it in darkness. I just want to briefly show these to you because this is the basis of my entering into a deeper consideration of typology when I read and saw this and read and saw other diagrams in his 1925 seminar that has been published, which is a kind of a wonderful little book that talks about his early years in his relationship with Freud and the evolving of his the book that led to his break with Freud, and then all of the context in which he created his psychological type book in 1921. This is an evolving consciousness that led to my focus on the couplings, these four couplings, that is now the basis of this book that I'm calling The Compass of the Soul. But let me show you where it came from. This 1977 article was written by Humphrey Osmond, and I call this I call it the Osmond Group. And they were the first in my consciousness to describe the four couplings in archetypical ways, so that you have the ST described as a structural, making maps, that tough-minded combination that sensate and thinking is. Of the four couplings, it's the most tough-minded. The opposite to the structural is the intuitive feeling coupling, and this will be the subject of our workshop when we add introversion and perception.